I woke up to the faintest of noise again. A curse of mine that my sleep is always light. However, when awake, I heard it again. I went over to the window to see what was going on, and was startled by the blank face inches from mine. On the other side of the glass was an antique wooden mannequin, pristine in appearance. Once my heart rate settled and my panic resolved, only frustration took over. This wasn't the first time this had happened, and it definitely wasn't going to be the last. For the past few weeks, someone had been leaving a mannequin outside my window. I either found it like this, or in the morning when I drew the curtain. No matter what I did with the mannequin the day after, another one would inevitably show up. This added to my confusion, as decent mannequins aren't cheap. So, if this was a joke, it was adding up to be a pretty expensive one. The police were perturbed by this when I reported this to them, but until something illegal actually happened, they could only send extra patrols at night to scan the area, which always turned up nothing. The stress of these events didn't help my familial situation. For a number of months, my mother had been in a coma at the hospital, the looming question being if she'd make it. The doctors, in their annoying doctor speak, gave the most vague response that she had a 50-50 chance of making it out of the coma with no complications. Good odds in their opinion, but the idea that her life fell on the tip of a coin flip was frustrating on so many levels. My mother is an interesting woman. She was a very eccentric lady, which often perturbed the more conservative neighbours we had. Where most of the mums in my neighbourhood would talk about fine dining and books, she loved wearing black 24/7, being loud, and talking of her younger days where she'd run around in the forest and pretend to be a witch. She always talked of her old friend group, which she called the Crimson Sisters, since they all had almost identical flare red hair. My friends found it hilarious and were enraptured by all her tall tales, stories of the occult, spells, and the many shenanigans she did with her like-minded girlfriends. But not me. It was embarrassing, and something I always tried to keep people away from. The biggest benefit of being a son, however, was the looming inheritance. If she popped her clogs, I'd have a huge settlement, and a lot of land. She owned both our house and a cabin in the Lake District, a prime little rustic cottage that was bought by her parents when houses were the price of a small car, and it only appreciated in value. These were the building blocks to living the life I wanted, and they were so close. Everything hinged on the fate of my mother. I never hated her. In fact, quite the opposite. But I felt my time with her was up, and her time here wasn't necessary. When the doctors would leave me to tend to her, I didn't do anything malicious per se, but I wouldn't help. I'd squeeze the IV bags, hoping it'd aid the coin flip in my favour, stare at her and think of ways she could accidentally have a pillow over her face. I eyeballed the life support machine's plugs, but knew they always had backups far beyond my knowledge. Didn't want to make it too obvious. I even whispered words of discouragement to her, muttered that it was her time to go, that she'd be better off dead. Things that I felt might trigger her to head towards the light. She'd be peaceful there, I figured. Better than the hellscape our current world was in. It was a mercy. The stress of things were getting to me. My mood was ever darkening, and the looming thoughts were spiraling in my head, draining downwards into some terrible places. So I figured, why not get an early peek at the cabin and have a little getaway at the Lake District? I knew where the keys were because I had been there many times with my mother in the past. This was my chance to enjoy it with the peace and quiet of her absence. I packed light, grabbed the keys from her house, and made the somber drive through the scenic trails. It took a few hours, but it was worth getting tired from the drive to have that lovely crashing energy that lets you have the most perfect of sleeps. The peace was euphoric. No more sounds of the ever-busy city, no buzzing of the many electrical appliances that consume one's apartment. A looming silence blessed the property. I was in heaven on earth. I took my time wandering the cabin slowly, admiring every detail without the nagging presence of my mother. I went to my old bedroom and saw the left-behind vacation items, sports equipment, toys, little trinkets gifted to me over the years. My mother's room was a stark contrast. I'd never been in there before, not for long anyway. The room was much darker than the rest of the cabin, even with the lights on. Black curtains were adorned around the room in a scattered pattern, which gave off an almost fantasy vibe. Half-melted white candles were set about, dotted around the room. A large metal chest sat at the end of the bed, in the position of a neat sitting area. My mother never let me in her room by choice. When I asked her about it, she would just sigh and simply tell me I wouldn't understand her choice in decoration. That much was apparent. Though now, the trunk was calling to me in voices of curiosity. What was inside, I wondered. I flicked through the key set that I used for the cabin, but none of the keys worked. But I figured as much. My mother was not just a self-proclaimed witch, which I only took at face value, but knowing her all these years, she could easily be described as a trickster. I tried the wardrobe. It was adorned with many long flowing robes, corny outfits from an era gone, but no hidden compartment or key. I looked at the shelf and saw some books. They were of witchcraft and other dark history, but one stood out. A little book, clad in what looked like a homemade leather bound. When I unwrapped it, I found the pages to be hollowed out, and in the middle was a little key. I found it. I popped open the mysterious trunk and was met with a pile of confusion. Body parts, all made from wood. Arms, legs, and other various parts. But one stood out like the cherry atop a cake. A head, blank, like a mannequin's. I slammed it shut, my mind racing with ideas that led to nowhere. Storms of confusion rummaged my mind. I decided I needed air and took to sitting outside to cool myself off. I sat outside on the decking, admiring the dark silhouettes of nature. But in the silence and solitude, it hit me that I was now alone out there. Something which was a luxury I wanted to relish in, but with the recent findings, now sat as a pit of anxiety. What I thought would be a peaceful setting started twisting in an unnerving tension. The silence started bearing down on me. The solitude made me feel insignificant and vulnerable. My eyes darted around the darkness, worrying about the shapes appearing out of nowhere. Any sounds that did pervade the silence were no longer serene, beautiful sounds of nature, but sensory threats. I ran inside and tried to settle down. I was psyching myself out, but I wanted to push through. When the cabin became mine, I had to get used to being there alone. I had to see the beauty in it. After all, this was what I wanted. Still, it was getting late, and I felt it was time to settle in, so I'd have ample time to hike the trails and get intoxicated on the fresh air of nature. Learn to enjoy myself at the cabin so I could make the most of it. I waddled over to the front door and clicked it locked. Then another click, then another. More sounds were accompanying my own, which made me furrow my brow. I leaned around to peek outside, and fell ass first on the ground. My breath welling up in my throat, not deciding if it wanted in or out like a misbehaved cat. I eventually choked out my breathing in fast bursts as I stared at the face before me, or lack thereof. A mannequin, much like the ones that haunted me at home. Thankful that I just latched the lock, I backed away in the hopes that that was it. Another mannequin that had just stand out there and do nothing all night. But is still pervading my thoughts and how it got all the way out there. I was miles from home. I knew for sure I wasn't followed. There was no way. The roads to the cabin were small country roads. I'd have seen headlights from a mile off. Yet, the majority of my trip was alone. The biggest question, though, one that could be summed up in one word was, why? Why was someone doing this? Why did they choose me? Why did they follow me so far out? Nothing made sense. I heard more taps, something I'd have drummed up to nature before, but now made me investigate, almost on autopilot. Another window, another face. More sounds, another window, another face. The house was getting surrounded by these still figures, one window at a time, each one in their own oppressive pose. I rushed upstairs, hoping the high ground would save me. I entered my bedroom and latched the door. My eyes scanned the furniture, trying to figure out the optimal way to barricade the door. However, the moment my eyes scanned over the window, a scraping started. I knew I'd regret pulling back the curtain, but I also knew I'd regret not doing so. I was left with no choice but to look. There it was, a mannequin, arms and legs splayed out like it was gripping onto the sill like a spider. Its head cocked to one side in an almost curious manner. I was left to curl up on the ground and scream. I didn't know what to do. There was no rhyme or reason to any of this. They never moved, yet they were everywhere. They never attacked, yet I felt threatened. They were not human, yet I felt inferior. I had a make it or break it moment. I could be cursed by these unnatural abominations, plagued to the end of times, or I could do something about this. My fight response kicked in, and I set to action. I grabbed a bat we had from my childhood. I stormed downstairs and burst out the front door. I was raring to go. The moment I took a few steps forward, a slamming sound jolted me upright from my braced position, followed by a draft. I turned to see the door firmly shut, with a mannequin standing in front of it, facing my way. All of the ones around the house also had their heads turned in my direction. My resolve weakened, but I was still itching for a fight. Until I turned around, and there were several new figures dotting the fields. More and more were appearing by the second everywhere I faced. I ran to my car and tried the handle. It was locked. The keys were inside. I squinted my eyes, trying to look for anything that could help. But my eyes only fell on one out-of-place detail. Among the figures were one or two that were different. Figures draped in dark, flowing robes and crimson-red hair. I turned to the house, and there were dozens in my way. I couldn't go back. I faced the road, hoping to run my way to the nearest house, but more silhouettes were dotting the road. I turned back, and there were more, and they were closer. I turned back, and they were now up on the car. I couldn't do anything. Everywhere I turned, they'd be there, and eventually, they were upon me. I curled up and screamed one last time before everything went black. The last thing I heard was my name whispered in my mother's voice. This echoed and echoed and became clearer until I woke up. The room was white. I stared at an unfamiliar ceiling. Many people were around me, with warm looks on their face, a welcoming sight. I was in the hospital. Among the many doctors around me was one figure that stood out, with flare red hair. My mother. She was calling me, urging me to wake, and when I finally focused on her, she teared up. The doctors told me they were relieved I had woken. Apparently, it had been a few weeks since my trip to the Lake District. They found me beaten and broken, something I confirmed when trying to move. They informed me I was in a coma from the severe head trauma, but due to the damage to my head, they needed to put me in a medically induced coma in order to aid neurological recovery. They told me to rest up and spend time with my mother, that they'd be back later for treatment. Once they left, silence prevailed. My mother was turned away from me, seemingly in thought. I was in too much pain to move, not that I had a choice with the amount of restraints and casts on me. When she eventually turned to face me, a new face appeared. No longer was she the happy woman elated to see her son return from the brink, but a face of malicious energy radiated from behind a sly smirk. She slowly walked over and leaned in. I first thought for a kiss, but her lips stopped right next to my ear. Within, she whispered only one thing. "It's your turn now."